This is the MLWRadio.com Network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. Feels good to be able to say that again. I'm your host, Strigger. I'm back after my surgery. And in that meantime, Dylan has been doing some great work here, both on the free feed as well as on the Patreon. So, Dylan, it's good to talk to you again.
You're finally back, Strig. I missed you so much. We had tons of stuff on the Patreon, but on the free show we had a couple of shows. One was Fumi Saito, and one was Sondre Bjorn from Norway, your wonderful continent of Europe, there talking about the big historic crossover show and our thoughts on that, and some of the announcements they made, too. So we had a lot of stuff going on there, and you're back from everything going on, and I can't wait to talk about it because we're nearing this end of the year stage. We've got all kinds of tag team tournaments, a million and one tag tournaments, it feels like. Stuff going on all around the world. News, people coming into Japan, people returning to Japan, people coming to different companies, people leaving different companies. It's a whirlwind situation right now, and I would feel a lot worse doing it without you, so I feel a lot better now that you're here. You're like the guiding light for all of us Japanese wrestling fans right now, Strigger. That's what you're bringing to the table right now.
I try. But I think that you really did a great job with the show with Fumi and the show with Sondre. Really enjoyed both of these shows. You were a great host for these two as well. And so we're back in our regular dynamic, Dylan, and you already said it. There is guys leaving left and right. Sometimes I go to sleep and I found out when I wake up that three more guys have left All Japan Pro Wrestling. It almost feels like 2013 all over again with the Wrestler 1 split. Then I just came across the news that Fuminori Abe is leaving Basara, and there's, of course, Jake Lee, the thing that we're going to talk about. So for 2023, really looks like there are incredible, incredible moving parts for Japanese pro wrestling. And that's what we're going to address on the show here today. But first, Dylan, I want to address something that came to my mind when I listened to your review of Noah the Best, which you did with Dean on the Patreon, where you talked about Jack Morris and at the same time, I was, of course, watching the Real World Tag League, and I was watching Cyrus do his thing there. And I had to think about what you say about guys like Ninja Mac or Dante Leon, who come from GCW to Pro Wrestling Noah. And then I compare that with your opinions on Cyrus, for example, or even on Jack Morris. And I mean, it's great that you give them the fair chance to impress you, because they are mostly fairly unknown indie guys, one from the US and one from England. But then again, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of GCW myself, and I'm not the biggest fan of Dante Leon myself. I enjoy what Ninja Mac brings to the table. Sometimes think that you're a bit biased when it comes to, like, when someone is attached to GCW, it's automatically a no-go for you. Is that a fair assessment from my side?
Well, I think Jack's from Scotland, to be fair, not England. So I got to give him some props. I don't want to drag him down with all this stuff going on there in their World Cup team right now. After the day, so I'm not going to lump him in with all of that. But I like Ninja Mac well enough. I actually think he was a good choice as champion, really got over to the crowd. Dante Leon is not very good in my opinion, but nothing personal. He's just not my style of wrestler very much. I don't GCW has many bad wrestlers, so I don't know if that's a sign of my bias or just a sign that I don't like them. But I will say that I think Ninja Mac is much better than Dante Leon, so
yeah,
I will judge them differently on that end. Because it's weird, because you made this point, but you kind of agreed with all the stuff I said there, so maybe we're all biased against GCW.
We all have a bias. I thought it was funny that you gave like these guys a chance and others you just don't because they have a certain background that you know of.
I gave Ninja Mac a chance. I gave Dante Leon a chance. Heck, if you listen to the shows we did at DDT, the DO Grand Prix I did with Yannick, I was even nice to Ricky Shane Page in his first match that he had. Well, maybe less so subsequent matches.
Then you were nicer to him than I was.
And I was much probably less nice to Janela than anyone was.
Yes,
I would say
that's fair. Yeah.
But like I said, it's not necessarily that they're from GCW. It's just that they happen to be very poor indie workers. Some of these guys, and maybe I want them to get better and improve, and I will give them a chance because there's a lot of guys that start off maybe not the greatest, and then they improve and get better. Even one of my favorites, like Yoshihashi. He started off, I really thought he was not very good at first, and he got better. So hopefully everybody gets better. And isn't that what life's all about? Not just in wrestling.
Yes.
Just in life. Aren't we all trying to grow?
We try. We try to grow, and we try to do that because... No, it was just something that came to my mind because I thought it was so... I thought it was very good what you said about Jack Morris, but then in comparison to others, I figured, why is he talking about him like that and others he's not like talking about them?
I mean, I guess, what makes you say that? What do you think is wrong with what I said about Dante Leon?
I think particularly nothing is wrong what you said about him in your statement about, for example, Cyrus or Jack Morris. You just stated that you will give these guys a chance to look at them and make an assessment then, whereas with Dante Leon, it was pretty obvious from the get-go that you would not like him.
Well, I just had to watch him wrestle to know that.
Well, it was pretty much a given, like I would say.
Well, I mean, look at his wrestling.
I mean, yes, you are correct in that sense. But I would like when someone from GCW arrives, like let's say for example, Nick Wayne, he also wrestles for GCW, you know?
Yeah.
Would you then say you wouldn't watch him because he's from GCW?
No, he's like a young guy, right?
Yeah. Dante Leon is too.
How old is Nick Wayne?
I think he's like 17.
Yes, and so I'm actually biased for him, actually.
Okay. I mean, no, we said it off air too. There may be a positive bias as well in that category, and that may be the point that I was kind of trying to address, because you tend to give these guys sometimes. These guys that are fairly unknown, more of a shot than others do. That's of course correct. Yes.
Well, one of my favorite things in wrestling is watching wrestling from really
obscure places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if I give them a chance, I will also give others a chance as well. But yeah, like it's nothing. I try to grade everybody separately, even though like yeah, most GCW guys I don't like, but it's because their wrestling's bad. Like, but I could extend that to the entire indie scene of America, to be honest, not just GCW.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point that I really don't get from your vantage point, because I've been watching some indie stuff. I've had this Fight Plus deal. I've watched lots of stuff on indie wrestling TV this year, and I really think that there are a lot of good wrestlers on the indie scene. So like putting that all into one, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
I guess there's maybe a handful of guys I see something in on the American scene. But even then, I think it's a far cry from where it was, 10, 11, 10, 12 years ago.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so if there's anybody you think that I'm unfair to, any of these indie guys, like I'm willing to give them a shot. Even somebody like, Aussie Open, I was like, oh, I watched them. Like, I didn't think they're as great as everybody else, but they've had some good matches on their tag league tour here. I've liked a couple of their matches. They look pretty good. If you deliver, you can win my approval. you know, in the ring. In the ring is what I always look forward to most. I know a lot of people like the characters and all that stuff as much. But if you can go in the ring, that's really what I look forward to most. And the American Indies, the style of it is really an off-putting to me, flat out. Unless there is a guy, you know, I mean, like somebody like, you know, Timothy Thatcher was an indie guy for a long time. And but his style was, and he was such a great wrestler that like if Chris Hero came back to the indie scene and all of that, I would definitely love those guys. You know, I would not be biased against them. Where is he anyway? I miss him.
Oh, he recently messaged me. He's, I think he's doing well. I think he's just not going back to wrestle anymore.
Well, I miss him. Hopefully one day he comes. The scene could use him, to be honest.
Yes. You could, even if he's not coming back to wrestling, the scene could really use him just in a backstage role. That would be cool.
That's true. He'd be one of the first people I call for, like, a mind.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if someone needs to book Ring of Honor, I'm calling Chris Hero.
I think, you know, I mean, the Ring of Honor, you know, we're recording this like literally like a couple of hours after the final battle show ended. And
yes.
I'm not going to spoil you on this one.
Yes.
So I'll leave that alone.
I was too tired to watch that in its all entirety, even though it was on a very good time for European standards when it comes to American pay-per-views. I was just too tired. So I'm going to catch that up after the show. But here we are, we closed the book, and I'm. It's really nothing that I would particularly have against you. That's what I just. The statement that I just made, I would just say that it's good that we all look at these guys differently and give them a fair assessment, even in spite where they come from, maybe a background that we don't like, for example, GCW.
Like I said, I haven't watched a GCW show in so long, to be honest. And even then, I was never really a fan. But like I said, if somebody comes there, you know, that's not fair. It's kind of like, you know, like I said, if there's anybody specifically that you want to bring up, I will talk about them more. But yeah, like Nick Wayne, I'm only vaguely familiar with him, but I would definitely give him a look if he ever came to Japan or someone like that. If anybody that I haven't seen, I would give a fair assessment or a fair shot.
Hasn't he already been? I think he has been. John Oliver, was it, who was in Japan, right? Let's see. Yeah, Nick Wayne hasn't been there yet. No. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'll give him a shot. But like I said, I mean, you know, some of these guys they bring in, I don't really love a lot. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe the scene will grow over the years. You get young guys in there, young talents. Mm-hmm. You got people like, even in Tokyo Joshi Pro, you got like Billy Starks coming in from America.
She's another
really young talent. Hopefully they get a chance to grow. And if we're, on a personal level, I'm happy for all these guys, even people I don't like Janela and RSP and all these guys, that because I get an experience that they can live with, even if I'm not necessarily the biggest fans of their work. But, you know, everyone can have a chance to grow and experience. And I think that's the main thing in wrestling is when you're expanding your horizon, so to speak, wrestling in different places, wrestling people with different styles, that can only help you grow. And hopefully everybody gets a chance to do that, I would say.
Right. Someone who had the chance to grow while he was on tour with All Japan Pro Wrestling definitely was Cyrus. I would say he played his role well with Shuji Ishikawa. Ishikawa seems to be really in on this tag team and really seems to be one of the guys that's behind Cyrus being successful in All Japan Pro Wrestling. However, I will say that my initial opinion on him has changed slightly, I think. I still don't think that he is very good. I think that he has a role that he tends to play well. However, there are some parts of his wrestling that he probably should not do. Like, for example, when he did it at the final of the Real World Tag League, when he did the moonsault and it looked like that he knocked himself out. I don't think that's his forte. I think he should work more to his strengths, which is just like doing the throwing around with the smaller guys. This Scrapbuster looks really nice. But apart from that, he should probably, I would not say limit himself, but do more of what plays to your own strengths than trying to incorporate everything into your wrestling.
Yeah, you know, I really like what he brings to the table in All Japan. I think he's a really, like you said, he's not going to win any awards for, you know, the most outstanding wrestler or anything like that. But for a big guy who can hit hard, I can get down with that. And I think that he brings that to the table, kind of like the Saito brothers originally. And they showed a little bit of it in the tournament, but obviously a lot of, like, stupid stuff as well with the Voodoo Murders. But, like, if you just give him something to do and he brings something different to the table that none of the other guys on the roster can necessarily do like him, I agree with what you said. A lot of, like, the top rope stuff. I get where he's coming from. He's trying to relive this Vader stuff.
Yes. And bring it to the table. But that exposes him because he's not good at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I totally get what you're saying on that end. You know, and I think that's something that, yeah, I can definitely see it being a good idea to cut that stuff out and just focus on hitting hard, being a big guy. Yeah. Like, give us more of that. That's what we need. Yeah,
you can still, like, do this corner splash. That looks good. But all the other stuff that the moonsault has to go.
Yeah, I think that's a totally reasonable assessment to want that to go.
Yeah. So him and Shuji Hikaru made it to the tag league finals, mostly by accident, I guess, because Ashino got injured along the way and they had to do some weird finishes. They once did a non-finish towards the end of the Real World Tag League to balance everything out. Because at the point when Ashino got injured, they already had 5 points, whereas Lee and Aoyagi, as well as Nomura and Miyahara at that point, only had 2 points. So they had to completely reshuffle the tag league, which then resulted in Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus going to the finals without wrestling a match on the final night. And without the tag league officially having a final, by the way. That is such a stupid thing. Why? Every year, this tag league has a final, but they never announce that there will be a final match before the final show. It's the same every year. For the Junior Battle of Glory, they did. They did announce that they will do a league, and the top two will wrestle once again. And they did there. But for the tag league, they just pretend as if it's just a round-robin tournament, and it never is.
Yeah, you know, these final setup and structures for a lot of these tournaments, I mean, I think they, for the most part, have done a lot better. Like, even in the G1, where they had the semifinals, they brought those back and stuff.
Yeah.
But in all of these years past, for all these tournaments, it's like, oh, let's look at the last day and, like, see who's matched up with everybody, and we can figure out who's going to make it, and then we'll go from there. And like you said, it always ends up, it just magically works out to where there is a final, you know, somehow every year it always ends that way. And I agree with you. Why not just announce a final at the end and just save some of the trouble of doing it, or just make it seem like it actually is logical instead of just, oh, it just happened to end this way. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So All Japan Pro Wrestling, they ended up with Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura winning the Real World Tag League. And basically what you said from the get-go, so that's a nice call on your part, Dylan, happened in the end, because Takuya Nomura is challenging Kento Miyahara for the Triple Crown. That is happening on the Kirkland Hall double shot that they'll do on January 2nd and 3rd. And as well, of course, they are challenging together for the World Tag Team title still held by Zuwama and Kono. What did you think? First, what did you think about the Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura team? The team that was called Miya Kento Takuya.
I mean, I think Nomura is just a really great talent in general, and I think he's somebody that is good in every situation. Kento, obviously the Triple Crown champion, the main star of the company, I think most would agree on that, and a very charismatic performer, I would say. Actually, I really like them together as a team. I think that they did a lot of good things. I think Nomura, the dynamic of these two, it had to change a little bit just because the story going in with the Triple Crown on the line that they would move forward with. But it wasn't like, stylistically, it wasn't significantly different from maybe with his regular team with the Astronauts. Because Abe is such a charismatic guy, and Nomura is more of the straight guy, you know, like the stoic, serious dude.
Whereas, he usually is, but whenever he's with Abe, he becomes much more relaxed as well.
and here, this they kind of had a rift where, you know, they weren't getting along throughout the tournament. He slapped Kento in the face a couple of times. Yes. They were kind of teasing this all throughout the tournament, pretty much. I don't think that they would have won this if Ashino had not been injured, but it's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. So now you set up a tag challenger and then a title match right after. Like, I really don't think this was a bad year. I would have. There's another team that really impressed me more than them, but I think that they, you know, their work. These are two great talents at the end of the day, so of course they end up working together and have some of the best matches of the tour as well. So, and I thought the final was really a great job by them in the final to work with Cyrus and Shuji as well.
Yeah, I especially liked how Takuya Nomura wrestled circles around Cyrus at the end of the match. That was really cool to see. But what was the team that impressed you more than Kento and Takuya?
My favorite team of the tournament was Yuji Nagata and Yuma Anzai. They were the ones that had all of the interesting matches. To me, I loved every match they had, and I specifically loved Anzai. I think he brought the best out of Nagata working with him. You know, earlier in the year, Nagata on his own and even just doing stuff in All Japan, I really wasn't that impressed with him, and I thought, well, he's obviously a little bit older now. He's probably not ready for prime time. But in this team, I think that he's done a great job, and I think Anzai is a big part of that. I think, obviously, Nagata is super hype working with this, you know, super rookie, more or less. I think that Anzai, this guy has everything you want already. And the fact that this team, that it ended up with so many points, you know, with six points, it tells you that they... I mean, they've already told you. Like, his debut was against Nagata in the Budokan Hall show.
Yeah, you know right away.
And now they're doing this, and now they, you know, in every other situation of a similar circumstance, a rookie like this guy in his first 3 months, that's an automatic loss post in all of their matches. But here it wasn't. They actually got some stuff. I actually thought it would have been cool that they just said, you know what? We've had this injury. Let's just go all the way with him. Like, just do it. Like, he's a new guy. Let's do something different. We got crazy stuff going on with people leaving. And, you know, I'm sure they knew about that already at the end of the tournament. So, like, why not just say, hey, we're doing something. We're shaking things up a little bit here. We are going to go with Anzai. He has everything it takes. And I really love what I've seen from him already. I mean, he's only 3 months in, and I'm already impressed with him. I think he brings the best out of even his opponents as well. And I just... there's just something about the way he wrestles that's so good. Like, I just think that he's, like, a really, really super talented guy so fast that you could see why the company wanted him so much and why even New Japan wanted him so much. But here in All Japan, I think it's going to take a really big mess to be made to really mess this guy up, because I think he has everything it takes to be the top guy of the company.
And even aside from the Real World Tag League, they did this show on November 27 at this fruit market, at this vegetable and fruit market, where in the main event, the Voodoo Murders won, and they won cabbage, which got over with me huge, because I'm a huge cabbage guy. So first good thing that the Voodoo Murders have done. But they faced Takao Mori, Yuji Nagata, and Yuma Anzai in the main event of that show. It was a six-man tag match, and basically that set up Yuma Anzai in the end, at the final show, defeating Suwama with the German suplex hold. And I really thought that Yuma Anzai in this match put up one of the best babyface in peril situations that I've seen in a long, long time in the crowd. It was a large crowd. Once again, All Japan going outside of Tokyo, drawing well there. That should be a sign of what they should do next year. Around 800 fans at this fruit and vegetable market. And the fans got hugely behind Yuma Anzai because he was just doing so well and holding up so well against Suwama. And it clearly showed that he's going to be one of those guys that they will put over. And then, yes, he, in that real-world tag league match at Kurikan Hall, he beat Suwama. So they're pushing the guy, and they are doing different stuff with their rookies. Like, look, for example, at the Saito brothers. They immediately moved them to their new role with the Voodoo Murderers after they came back from excursion. So they're trying to push their new guys extremely right now because, much like you said, they probably knew that there will be some open spots exactly in this middle portion of the card come next year.
Yeah, you know, the Saito brothers, I think, have gone... it's very unfortunate that their idea was to move them to Voodoo Murders.
Yes.
But, you know, for them, thankfully, Anzai is not doing that. He's doing much better for himself with this role that he has. But yeah, getting a win over Sawama this early, I mean, that's a great sign. And that's something that they should think about. It shows that they're serious. I think that they're doing a great job. And you know, that is one good thing about the company right now. They have a great young core in general going forward, not just with Anzai, but they have a lot of guys that I think, yeah, this guy could be something. But Anzai, he's like the clear standout in terms of just, it seems like he's destined to be a main guy, and you can see because they push him the most. So, you know, I think he's the one that everybody has eyes on going forward. And they've done an excellent job. You can say whatever you want about a lot of things they've done, but with him, and we're still very, very early, so let's mention that as well. But for somebody so early in his career, I think they've done a fantastic job every step of the way with him so far.
Yes, and then, of course, we have... before we address the Jake Lee thing, I guess we go to the other tournament at first. We, of course, had the Junior Battle of Glory, which ended up with the champion winning the tournament, much like it was obvious to me that they would do that. He then called out Hikaru Sato, the one guy that beat him in the tournament at the very first show. Hikaru Sato defeated Atsuki Aoyagi. Aoyagi then went on to win most of his remaining matches, except for the one, which did he lose against Dan Tamura, right?
Yeah, he went undefeated until he lost to Aoyagi.
Yes, that's what happened. He lost to Aoyagi twice. Yes, that's true. So, yeah, I thought that Aoyagi did a great job in this tournament, and I also thought that they told a great story with Dan Tamura being undefeated until facing the champion. I think both of his matches against Atsuki Aoyagi were really, really good. The second one much better also because it got more time, and that is the one thing that I had to criticize from the get-go about this tournament is that they didn't really give these guys a chance to attract a lot of attention with them being stuck in the undercard. What helped here was that they had this 10-minute time limit, right? Because
yeah,
it felt like that, yeah, they came close to the time limit a couple of times. So that was good because it gave the matches a lot of drama to it. For example, the one that Hikaru Sato beat Aoyagi in 9:54 at the first show. That helped to distinguish the tournament from the other tournament. However, I would have loved to see more of these matches in a more prominent position because some of these tag league matches didn't really light my world on fire.
No, that's for sure. I think that the thing they did with the junior tournament was interesting, and I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound too negative. I actually liked everybody in the tournament. I would say did a great job in their own right way. I think that everybody did very good. And the thing that's really weird to me was how they handled Dan, just because he went undefeated and then kind of choked it away at the end. I was kind of feeling like, okay, this tournament, I can see why they did it this way. It's very small. Mm. They're using this as kind of like ultimately, this tournament, in my mind, for most of it, was thinking, well, this is clearly a venue to push Dan. Maybe make up for taking the titles away from him within a month. And like, okay, now you're giving him this big run, solidify him as a threat in this junior division. He's kind of been lost in the shuffle for a long time now. So you give him a chance to stand out. This could lead to a big match, you know, a big title match down the line. And then it's just like, no, he lost at the end. Then Atsuki won. And it's like okay, like what was the point of all of that before? One would have to wonder. Well, but
in my opinion, the point of that all was to establish Atsuki Aoyagi as the junior heavyweight version of Kento Miyahara, to just be the overall dominant guy who beats everybody.
Well, I don't mind that part, but I'm talking about Dan.
He's a casualty in that case, I guess.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. Like, it's not the end of the world. I mean, Atsuki is more important than Dan overall in the grand scheme of things in the juniors. I just thought it was a little weird how they handled the tournament with him. You know, the booking of everybody was a little weird.
Especially because they faced back-to-back on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, and I think that could have been handled a little bit better. And, you know, then you had the stuff with Omori going winless. That really makes no sense.
No, that makes no sense at all, especially because even Ryo Inoue got a win, of course, over him.
And great, I love Inoue. I think he's, like, he's quickly becoming... I don't know if he'll be the star or whatever, like some of these other guys, like your Anzai's and everything. And I love what Anzai brings to the table, too. I'm not discounting his in-ring. But Inoue, to me, just feels like a guy... I kind of feel the same way about him as I did about Rin Narita as a young lion, where everybody was really talking about Umino. And I thought, look, I don't know who's going to get shots and chances and who's going to be the biggest star, but this guy's the best worker of this class. And that's kind of how I feel about Inoue. Like, I think this guy has potential to be a great wrestler. Like really good in-ring guy you can always count on, maybe like an Ashino like level guy eventually. Like I love his style.
He feels like a throwback to Battle Arts, really.
And clearly leaning into that direction, there's no doubt in my mind that he's training a lot with Sato to really help along this with that kind of shoot stylish type of background. He's a noted fan of Kawada and his kicks as well. He's always posted pictures with him on Twitter. So he's got the kick pads going. He's got this shoot style gear that he's got. I really like this guy a lot. I love what he did. But yeah, he was probably the one guy I didn't have too much issues with in terms of that. But yeah, Omori... It's so weird because he was just facing Minoru Suzuki in a major match at Budokan Hall. Yes. And we were thinking, oh man, this has to be a great vote of confidence. They must see something in him to give him this standout
singles. Yeah, I was saying they will move him up to heavyweight.
Yeah,
he loses all the matches in the Junior League. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I totally agreed with that. Like, yeah, I think that's where he's destined to be. Why else would they give him this major
match? And you were even saying, well, you were laughing it off and saying, yeah, obviously that's what's happening, but...
there is no obviously with All Japan. I mean, yes. They do.
Especially not this year.
No. Yeah, even you know we've seen some weird stuff in the past from this company. Let's be realistic about it. We can go back and talk about all sorts of crazy things in the past if we want to go there. But the past few months I would definitely say are very strange. But yeah, like why do this? And that brings us to the next question. Okay, we were wrong. They're probably not going to move him to heavyweight, or maybe they are. Maybe this is his
maybe
setup.
That's their way to move him up. Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's what this means, Deep. You got to read between the lines, Trigger.
Maybe he's just not as quick as he needs to be as a junior heavyweight, and that makes him want to move up to heavyweight to face the bigger guys that are not as quick as him.
And I mean, what a story that we could tell there. You know, clearly a favorite next year they're setting up. But yeah, that was really goofy, but the Junior League was very fun. I liked all of their matches, you know, pretty much. There wasn't anything that I was like, oh my god, this was an amazing match. Everyone must see it. But it's a good tournament. There's nothing bad about it. All six of them are good workers, you know, and some of them have some good upside as characters, and some of them, like Atsuki, obviously, the one who won, he's the future of the division and a great player to be having in the entire company. I think he's a great young talent to push. So a lot of young talent, a lot of good stuff going on there. I thought, and also another thing that was goofy about this match, or not the match, but the tournament itself. Why wasn't someone like a Kodama in there or a Tachibana who they had this All Asia tournament? They could have easily, or not even a tournament, just a match. Yeah. And they could have easily put him in them in this tournament.
And, I have no idea. I don't know what to tell you.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of these questions. Can anybody have good answers to these? Which, you know, I feel like we're trying to solve, like, you know, one of those mysteries that's been around for 30 years, but it's all taking place in the span of a few months. There's this secret code that just got discovered, and we're trying to figure it out. Maybe in a few months, when other researchers, other fans, other scientists have studied the booking of All Japan, we can all come together, put our minds together, and we can uncover the secrets of some of this junior heavyweight league booking. But until then, we're just going on our own, Stringer.
One more positive, because before we go to the negatives once more, I want to address that at the final, which Aoyagi obviously won, they had Rising Hayato on commentary, and they they cut to him and they showed him after he called out, after Aoyagi called out Hikaru Sato, because once again, Rising Hayato had lost to Atsuki Aoyagi in the Junior Battle of Glory in the group stage. And I think Rising Hayato now has lost all of his matches to Aoyagi. And that will be one of the stories they go to next year. One of the main rivalries, I would say, in the junior division will be Aoyagi versus Hayato.
I really think he's a guy that's improved a lot over the course of the year. Like, where he was and facing Sugi for the junior title and stuff, to that match to now, I think he's really gotten a lot better over the course of the last year or so of everything. And I think the character has really helped him shine out that they've given him. I think he's another guy that's like, everyone's going to always bring up his high-flying stuff, his spectacular moveset. But when I watch him, I really like his all-around game, like him on offense or even defense, selling his charisma in the ring. He really knows how to use his body language in a match. I think he's an all-around talent, a little bit underrated, actually. And I think he's a guy that's really improved. I mean, he always had that athletic ability and that things that you want at that level. But as an all-around guy, I think he's really gotten up there and become a really good worker in general. And I think he's a guy that him versus Atsuki, that's a great rivalry, like a generational rivalry, everybody calls it, right? That's something that you can really build around for the next long time with this thing. And like you said, him losing that to Aoyagi in every match, that's a story they can always go to for a long time now, until he finally does get that big win, and it's this huge moment that he finally overcame this obstacle in his past. So I hope that they do it. I think he's a guy that has a lot of talent. I think he deserves to be to have a run eventually. Right now it's Aoyagi's time, obviously. I'm not saying to end it now or anything, but down the line, you know, I think he's a guy that'll be a really good junior champion when that time comes. And I think that they have a great dynamic between them.
Yes, they do. So then it was announced that Jake Lee will be leaving All Japan at the end of the year. And in that same news cycle, it was also announced that Tajiri and Izanagi will both be leaving the company at the end of the year as well. And I really think that, especially when you look at the Jake Lee thing, from how he started the year to winning the Triple Crown and now being in this tag team with Yuma Aoyagi, where it seemed like both of these guys all of a sudden are afterthoughts and really aren't focused on anymore. He is the symbol of All Japan Pro Wrestling and the battle that happened backstage, the battle over power that happened backstage. I don't know any specifics, but when I look at how they booked him, when I look at how they booked Yuma Aoyagi, it's very obvious to me that there were different trains of thoughts that collided with each other, which ended up completely screwing over the entire booking of the year, because they went back and forth with a lot of guys, and in the end they turned away from Jake Lee, they turned away from Yuma Aoyagi, and they had the one idea to push that they now have the Voodoo Murders, and they of course have Kento and Atsuki Aoyagi. Others became afterthoughts in that time period, and with Tajiri leaving, a guy that obviously had power backstage, how much it was in the end, that is something that we don't know. But this guy leaving the company is a fairly bad sign of that the guys that are in power right now will also be the ones that have the book next year. And from what they've done in recent months, it has not been very good, with some exceptions.
They haven't inspired confidence in you, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, when this all started, you know, Jake was the first name announced that he was going to leave. And then it came out a day later or so that Tajiri and Izanagi were leaving. In that time period, a lot of people were, like, really panicking. Like, oh, man. Kind of like what you said at the start of the show, where you're thinking, oh, man, it's like 2013 with Wrestle 1, the Exodus, or before that with the Noah deal. You know, a lot of people were kind of thinking, oh, man, this is terrible news. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to say that it's a non-issue or anything like that, that Jake's leaving. But I really don't think that this is that bad for either party. Like, I mean, for Jake, I think it's clearly a good move. Like,
yeah, sure.
For me, here's the thing. If I were in Jake Lee's shoes, or even Yuma's shoes, there's no announcement that he's left or anything. But if I were in their shoes, if it was me, and I had the talent of these guys, and I was looking at the landscape of All Japan right now, and I look at how they did Yuma, you know, it felt like he had everything it took to be the ace of the company. It still feels like he has that. If you watch him wrestle, he still has all that stuff. But if you look at how they handled that whole situation, and I'm Jake Lee, and they give me this random one-month title reign, and then they're moving everything around, people are getting pushed, Voodoo Murders is taking over, like a lot of balls are juggling up in the air. I might think, and this is maybe you could call me out on this if you want, Striga, like you let me know if I'm the crazy one here. But if I was Jake Lee, I might think, man, these people running this show, I don't think they should be the ones that are making decisions on my career.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that.
And I think that I kind of said this on Twitter too, it's not like this is some crazy out of nowhere move. I mean, it's always an unexpected deal when somebody leaves a company in Japan, especially a former champion, a guy that is somewhat a main guy. I wouldn't say he's a main eventer at this point, other than by necessity, more than anything. I never really had any hopes for him to be the Triple Crown champion without some serious rehab. It felt like he was in a kind of a dark spot at the end of this tournament with how the tag team went with Yuma. But for him, you know, he's been saying that he wanted to go to New Japan for 8 months now.
Yes.
In public. Yes. It's not like this is some secret thing. You know, only a few people have heard about it. There's been whispers and maybe a secret report or Tokyo Sports said this. He said it in public himself.
Yeah, it all started in April when he teamed with Taichi against Tanahashi and Kento Miyahara at that Kurikan Hall show. And not only that, not only did he say in public that he would love to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he also took more and more independent bookings from All Japan Pro Wrestling. He wrestled a lot for like smaller companies and for small projects. He also wrestled, of course, for Kento Kobashi's Fortune Dream, but he also wrestled, for example, gigs like a show that was produced by Keiichi Sato. I think it was Sato's first show that he produced himself, and Jake Lee was on that show. So he did gigs outside. He wrestled for Tradition recently. Most recently, it's the show that had Tanahashi versus Fujinami. So he once again met a lot of guys that are in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so for him specifically, it is probably a good decision to leave this place.
And I think that, you know, like I said, they booked him so bad that he doesn't mean nearly as much as what he used to. So I think, again, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Look, I like Jake Lee. I think he's a really talented guy. I've always really enjoyed him. I think that this heel stuff with Total Eclipse and all that, that was really where things took a turn for the worst in a major way.
He was at a point where it really seemed that he finally had that spark. He finally had that fire that he really needed, that he was kind of lacking before. Sometimes it felt like he wasn't really motivated enough. His body language was sometimes off. But like 1 or 2 years ago, it really felt like that he was on the cusp of becoming what the company really needed him to become, because the company really needed a guy that could be a opponent for Kento Miyahara in the long run. And at that point, I mean, he's still in his early 30s. He's still only 33 years old. But at that point, he was 31. I mean, he was going to enter the prime of his career, but they had different plans for him, and these plans did not work out.
No, I think it really hurt him in the long run, if anything. And I think, like, his motivation issues really started in the last year or so. You know, I think you could even look at his performances. They haven't been the most inspiring, I would say, up and down for him. But, you know, honestly, again, in his shoes, it's not even just recently, and I've always liked Jake. Like I said, again, I want to make that clear. I think he's a really talented guy in the ring. But if you look at his run in All Japan, it's littered with tales of failed factions. Remember Sweeper? Remember Jin? Remember, you know, like, remember Total Eclipse, broken up with no
all
real...
All these stables that went nowhere.
Yeah, and he was the leader of all of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't want to put all the blame on him, because definitely a lot of it is on the people running the show. This has not been a greatly booked promotion outside of a couple of months of spurts here and there. Like, but he... You can point to that and say, man, everything we've tried, we've given this guy opportunity after opportunity, and nothing's worked out, regardless of whatever the reason is, whoever you want to blame for that. So, you know, I don't think this is like some devastating loss, like not nearly to the extent of the past ones. Even if you just took the top three guys of the last few, and not obviously because like the other times there was the whole company practically that left. But even if you took like the top few guys, Jake leaving... I think it's not that crazy. I mean, I'm not going to say it means nothing, but it's not like, oh, like it's not like if Kento had left or Jake had left 2 years ago, like you were kind of mentioning. I think it would have been a lot worse if that had happened then. Or if like Yuma left now, I think it would be a lot worse. But even he, I feel like he's taken some shots this year, and it feels like I honestly believe with him, like if it were me, I probably would have taken a long, hard look at walking right out the door along with Jake, because look, if you ask me, he's worse off now than he was even 2 years ago. Like, he's lower on the totem pole than he was in the last two years.
The Champion Carnival, and he's still lower off.
Yeah, he started off the year great, looked like the next superstar. By the end of the year, he's worse off than he was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and when he was the underling of Kento, and now it's like, you know, and that's really tough to stomach. And it feels like, who knows what their plans are, what they've got in mind, how they're going to replace him. I mean, look, a lot of the rumors now, and like to me, Tajiri, to speak on the other guys really quick, Izanagi, that loss doesn't mean anything, in all honesty. It's just, I like Izanagi. Don't get me wrong. I've always been a fan of his.
He was an undercarder. His loss will not turn the company around in any way. But the interesting part is what was implied in the Tokyo Sports article, which came out about Jake Lee leaving. The interesting part there is that there may be others leaving. And if that snowballs, if like, for example, suddenly, let's just say, Ryukyu Honda and Atsuki Aoyagi decide to pack it up and leave the company. That is bad.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured, I kind of just presumed, I mean, we don't know, like you said, it could snowball. I kind of just presumed these other guys were the ones who they were talking about, that there would be more leaving Izanagi and Tajiri. But yeah, who knows what's going on in that locker room right now. I will say this, it seemed like a lot of the locker room, just at least on Twitter and everything, were really trying to send a rally the troops type of message, more or less. Like, hey, support All Japan, we're here. So on and so forth.
Yeah, I've seen these tweets. I've seen the tweets from Ryo Inoue, from Makoto Umori, for example. Yuma Aoyagi made a tweet that I think the translation is weird, and we shouldn't really go into that. I think that sometimes things get lost in translation, and I think he was being sarcastic in his tweet more than implying that he will also leave the company. So I don't really see Yuma Aoyagi or Atsuki Aoyagi leaving.
If there's more leaving, obviously that could change things. Again, we don't know if that's going to happen. We don't know what's going on in the locker room. We don't know. Maybe there are people that are fighting this, like whatever power struggle there is. Maybe now somebody else is thinking, oh, now that so-and-so's gone, maybe now I can try and get my voice heard in there and try and get cozy up to some people. Wrestling's a weird business sometimes behind the scenes, so to speak. But for now, we have these three guys. And I think that Izanagi, like you said, is an undercard dude. I like him. Nothing disrespectful about him, but not a big deal at all. Tajiri, his loss doesn't mean anything to the in-ring. His presence will be felt training the guys and stuff like that, which could mean a lot. You know, we don't really know how that's going to play out. Who is going to take over that training? Will it be a bad loss in the future? Because, I mean, their young talent crop is really strong in the ring. And I think that if he was a big part of that training, then obviously losing him would be a bad thing. But we'll have to see who they replace him with and how they handle that going forward before we say one way or the other. But just on his own, again, that's another like undercard person, more or less, not a big big loss by any stretch of the imagination.
Yes, so yeah, that is basically where we are with All Japan Pro Wrestling at the end of the year. And an interesting part here, Dylan, is that when Fumi Saito was on the last show, he said that he heard that there will be some quote-unquote renegades coming into New Japan Pro Wrestling next year to shuffle the deck up there, to cause havoc, to cause chaos. Can you see Jake Lee being one of those?
Yeah. You know, I think that's what everybody was kind of... Like, I got a lot of tweets saying, oh, yeah, this is just like that, you know, when Jake was... Again, we didn't know who all was coming after him. At that point, it could have been Yuma. It could have been...
Could have been anyone.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's just these three guys, like I said, because he specifically mentioned, like, three guys in that thing. So, obviously, it's like, oh, okay, well, clearly the pieces are starting to come together with this. I mean... Yeah, like, why not? I mean, it's a very convenient timing, to say the least, I would say. But, and also, I mean, what relationship would Tajiri have with the people in charge of New Japan, your Gatos and your Dick Togos? We know they go back to, we know pretty well. So that would make sense as well. It's been said that he's going to Malaysia. Who knows what could happen with that? Again, these could all be cover stories and things like that, or they show up once and then come back again. Kind of like how at Stardom, you know, everyone was talking about, oh, Shirakawa's internationally traveling, and then suddenly she's back, like immediately, dressed like a mummy for some reason. Well, not for some reason, because it was in the storyline, because her face, but like because her face got injured. But that could all just be a storyline to kind of make it more of a surprise when they come over. It wasn't really my first thought that it would be Jake when he said that, because obviously I was there for it. We were both talking about it on the show. But could that be something in mind? Could it be people from a bunch of different companies that come in? You know, that could be something on there. You know, you take a guy from two or three companies that they work with. A big reason why I'm a little bit not skeptical, because I do think, like, he's made it so clear that he wants to go to New Japan, and he has people in New Japan that want him there.
Yep.
Which is always nice to have when it comes to trying to get to a new company. But I do, because remember, a big talking point for me on these last few episodes was I was really impressed with how the New Japan, All Japan working relationship was going along. So if they just say, okay, sure, we now have Jake Lee, and they're probably going to give him a really, if that were to happen, they're probably going to give him a radically different gimmick than he had in All Japan. There's going to be some big changes to presentation, things like that. You know, new entrance, maybe new attire, maybe new style.
The attire specifically has to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be upgrade for sure. Like, it'll be an upgrade for sure when he gets to New Japan if they do that. But they're going to change everything about him. How is All Japan going to feel where it's like, hey, wait a minute, you just took one of our guys. Like, you know, like one of our upper guys here. So
thing,
that could cause
thing,
a
thing problem. Though, is I don't think that All Japan is in any kind of position to stop this relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, because they clearly profit from having Yuji Nagata around. They clearly profit from having all these guys, Sanada, Taichi, coming in at the end of the year. They have Minoru Suzuki there. They are in no position to make any claims to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That is true, but you know, wrestling has a lot of egos backstage. That
sure, I mean, they can have the ego. They can say, okay, no, we're not doing that. But they would cut themselves.
And to be fair, for as bad as we say these things are, there were some decent numbers on this tour here with this this tag league. You know, they did more in Corkin. When's the last time Noah's got 800 in Corkin? That wasn't a Dragon Gate show.
I don't know. Exactly. They are running the place to death, you know.
It's been a long time, you know, and even that the shows outside of Tokyo, like you said, have done good as well. So it's like, it's not like the attendance has tanked to Big Japan levels to where we have to hit the red button at the end. But like I said, we're talking about stuff, obviously, from a business perspective. Yeah, what you said is totally true. Having these New Japan guys help. But wrestling isn't always logical. And specifically people running the company. Or we wouldn't be in this position. He probably would have never left if there were any logic used by the people running this company. Have you seen what they've done lately?
And if you only have, that's the point that I've made on Twitter too. If you only watch the Shinkiba shows that All Japan put on, You would think that this is the hottest company in the entire country because the fans in Shinkiba, they are red hot for All Japan Pro Wrestling, for anything that they do. That's crazy. And then you see other shows where it just feels like that they are the most dry company in the entire country. That is such a wide range of shows that they put on.
Well, they've really done a lot of weird things. So it's like, you know, you can see why that the fan reaction is so uneven when they run things how they do. And like I said, you know, who's to say how that ends? But I do agree with you. And like I said, I don't think losing Jake's the same as losing, like, a Kento, you know, obviously, where it would cause a big... Like, that, I think, would definitely cause a major problem. Like, if New Japan was just like, all right, we want Kento, we're going to pay whatever it takes to make him happen. I think that would cause a big rift in things. But this, he wanted to go, clearly. He's been saying it for 8 months now, like I said. Not just in April, but even in the G1, he was like, wow, I really hope I get that G1. And he was like, please put me in the G1. And by the end, he's like, please come to our shows in New Japan. I'm begging you. Give me a match with Tanahashi. Please. And he just tried to do this. And like, hey, if he ends up getting a New Japan gig out of this, then for all the talk about him looking like a geek, he accomplished what he wanted. Like, if that happens. Again, we don't know that. Because I'd heard something that he was also looking at Noah and DDT as well. That could just be anything said in public, you have to take with a grain of salt when it comes to these guys in wrestling. But who's to say what's going to happen? I mean, you know, this wasn't something that was on my radar that I expected. But when it happened, it wasn't like I immediately thought of all the times he said, oh, I really want to go to New Japan this year. I thought, OK, well, this kind of makes sense when you look back at it and how things have gone this year. But yeah, I mean, where do you think he will go? What is your prediction? Do you think he'll end up in New Japan?
I think him ending up in New Japan Pro Wrestling is very likely.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that.
There is another option that is on the table that also got talked about on Twitter, because Pro Wrestling Noah on January 1st, they have this six-man tag match with Masakatsu Funaki, Katsuyuki Nakajima, and Manabu Soya facing Katsuyuki Fujita, Kendo Kashin, and X. So people speculated, or at least some people I saw speculated, about Jake Lee maybe going to Pro Wrestling Noah. I don't think that's happening personally, because nothing really points towards that. I'm looking more of that being like a friend of Kendo Kashin coming
who
in
is,
there.
Who is returning to All Japan, for the record.
Who is returning to All Japan to challenge for the All Asia title, right, with Nozawa Rongrai, right?
That's right.
Yes, that's interesting too. Maybe there is something going there. But
and
I think
who's to say he can't just do that match and then go, then, you know, on January 4th show up?
Exactly. I mean, if he's a freelancer, he can do that match as well, of course. That doesn't necessarily mean that he has to go to sign a deal with Noah.
No. Like I said, he could be a freelancer until January 4th, and then he will sign with New Japan and get the deal there. Because, I mean, they don't really use a lot of freelance guys. Closest is like Suzuki, right? Overall, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think he's worked on this so long. They've got people that like him there in New Japan that want him to come in. They're advocating for him, and I do think he'll get a shot. Well, then that brings us to the next question of all of this. Let's say he does go to New Japan. What is his ceiling there?
That is an interesting question. I mean, we've had it with Shingo Takagi as well. Nobody probably ever thought that Shingo Takagi, when he left Dragon Gate, would become the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. There were certain circumstances that led to that, but in reality, nobody ever expected that. When he faced Okada for the title, nobody really gave him the chance.
True. That's true.
But he won. Won the title. And he went on to have a good title run. So with Jake Lee coming in, if they get him away from New Japan, if they get him away from All Japan Pro Wrestling, and if they want him, I think they see something in him. And I would always go in and always say that a guy from a company like All Japan coming to New Japan, that his ceiling probably is not higher than never title. Then again, if they really want the guy, and if they really try to push the guy, and they need new talent. They need talent that is in their 30s to be established as main event talent. They need those guys because they have to wait until guys like Ren Narita are fully ready to headline shows. And that won't happen for, like, let's say, 2 to 3 years. So they, in the meantime, they need guys like Jake Lee, who are right now in their mid-30s, who are, can be a name to New Japan fans. And with a certain presentation, I can see that they, with him, do a program with Okada. But if he ever becomes main champion, it's doubtful in my mind.
Yeah, I think the odds are very long against him ever winning that the top title. The other titles, I don't think is out of the question by any means necessary. I think he's a good talent in the ring. I think presentation has hurt him. But like you said, he's younger than most of their main event guys outside of Jay White, you know, right now. Jay's only 30, and he's 33. And other than that, Jake is younger than all these guys. So you would get a new talent. I remember us having a very similar conversation about Nakajima and Noah. Yeah. You know, a few months ago, when a lot of controversy was going on with him. And I basically said he should stay in Noah because he'll never be able to be the champion in New Japan. And if he can't be the champion in New Japan, then I don't think Jake will. But I do think that he's a guy that could get a singles run. I think that he's going to be in a tough spot coming in because the factions right now, they are going to probably want to put him in a heel group. Like, you know, House of Torture or Bullet Club or something like that. And if he ends up there, then I think that's really going to hurt him if that's their big idea for him and his presentation change, you know. So that's something we always have to remember, and it could be a roll of the dice. He doesn't have a connection really to LIJ, like trained in Hamaguchi's dojo, which they all are there. So that would kind of take that out. And then in Chaos, it's like, that to me is like, okay, you are now Goto and Ishii level. Very like Yoshihashi. Like, you're with all those guys. Like, in Chaos, pretty much, if you're there. So, it would take something really special for them. And do they really want to rock the boat on a non-dojo guy suddenly now becoming a top guy? You know, I think it's a tough call. I think this is something that he really wanted. And there, like I said, there are some people that are advocating for him, which is very good to have. Mm-hmm. So, that will give him a little bit of a run. Where it goes, I don't know.
Then again, Dylan, going back to one of the points that Fumi Saito also made on the show, this is not traditional New Japan Pro Wrestling anymore. Some of these rules are still in place, but some others are not. Except, for example, for Shingo Takagi, like I said, he's not a dojo guy either, but he won the title. So these traditional rules, they are still in play for some aspects, but with the new owners, with the company that owns New Japan Pro Wrestling, I wouldn't rule out anyone from the outside coming in, becoming champion, and running with that.
That's true, but I mean, I look at somebody like an Ibushi or a Shingo, and like I said that Shingo run was a really big fluke in the first place. You know, it took everything falling into place for that. And you were wrong; he didn't have a good title run. Like he wrestled Evil and then dropped it to Okada after the G1. You know, this was clearly just a total fluke of a situation for him to get the title. And Ibushi, that run, that was the less said about it, the better. him winning the championship. So, honestly, I could see them being even more reluctant after these experiments with it.
You're completely missing the Shingo Takagi versus Hiroshi Tanahashi match.
And that was great. And a terrible draw at the Tokyo Dome.
A terrible draw, yes. Not to his fault, I would say. The circumstance of this Tokyo Dome show was
and that's the problem. None of that was his fault. He's a great performer.
Yeah, then he wrestled Evil, that's true. But then he also wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. in a very good match. At the Osaka Arena in November of that year, and then he dropped the title to Okada in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, so that run wasn't very good overall, like I said.
I said he had a good run, not a very good one, but it wasn't bad either.
I think if I'm New Japan, I see that and look at it for what it was, bridge to Okada, you know, at the end of the day.
But most title runs are the ones that bridge to Okada.
Well, that is a great point as well, you know, overall. So, but I still though, if anything, like I said, after him and Ibushi, it's not like I think, oh, well, we did it with Shingo, so now we can do it with Jake. You know, like...
No,
you know,
just, no, that's not a given. No, no.
No, and I think, like I said, in general, I think it's much harder for a non-dojo guy to get it, and you have to have a very special circumstance. Like I said, both of those cases, Shingo was a fluke title reign, Ibushi was a very, very particular circumstance in and of itself. So it's like, you have to have a very extraordinary circumstance to be in that situation right now, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I think that they're going to have a hard time. I'm not saying it's impossible that Jake... I really would be surprised if he won the title, who knows? Like, who's to say that something like that can't happen again, where somebody leaves the company, you know, mysteriously, like the champion bails, like Ospreay did. You make a lot of bad moves that put you in this spot, and suddenly Jake, you say, like, damn it, we need a native young guy. Jake's a former Triple Crown champion. Let's give him a chance. Like, who's to say? Like, that's not impossible either, to be fair. I wanted to contradict myself earlier, but I would be surprised, but I wouldn't count it out completely. But to me, he feels like destined to be, you know, that where I kind of slotted him with the Goto's and your Ishii's and your Yoshihashi's. Maybe you have a tag run, but that doesn't really matter. Maybe you could have a never run, you know, maybe do some good things with that. It just depends on what they have there. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And it just seems like something that he really wanted, and maybe there are some people that want that. And there's going to be a lot of dominoes that fall after this, and we've already seen a couple of them with Izanagi and Tajiri. We're going to see how the relationship ends. Like you said, you kind of said that you didn't think that there would be anything. You know, All Japan doesn't have any way to fight them, really, in terms of the money side of it, the business side of it, which is true. And I just say people are crazy in wrestling. So who's to say what's going to happen?
Yes, exactly. So this then, I guess, brings us to a quick look at New Japan Pro Wrestling and their tag leagues that are going on simultaneously. There's not a whole lot to say about that, to be quite honest. And I've said it when we talked about it briefly on the last show that we did together, that I would not watch a lot of it. And you called me out for being lame on that. I ended up watching some of the stuff in the Junior Tag League. I mostly watch the main matches, and I've also started mid-tour to watch all of the Kushida and Kevin Knight matches, because I really think that Kevin Knight is a very special talent, and they, right in the middle of the tour, basically, they moved him up from being a young lion to being a proper tag team partner to Kushida. And I also really liked one of the matches that I particularly liked was the one with TJP and Francesco Akira versus Doki and Yoshinobu Kanemaru for the upset in the end when Doki pinned Francesco with the suplex de la Luna that got over huge with the crowd. I also like Yo and Leo Rush. They work well together. Obviously, Titan and Bushi are a favorite tag team of mine. There is a lot of good teams in this league right now that is much more interesting than the World Tag League, in my opinion. I try to watch some of the matches, some of the main matches, LIJ versus Aussie Open and LIJ versus Goto and Yoshihashi. But those matches didn't really light my world on fire, especially LIJ versus Goto and Yoshihashi is exactly what I said here with the New Japan Pro Wrestling. They need new talent. They have done these matches all over again, and it's not really doing anything for me anymore, so I didn't really watch the World Tag League, but the Super Junior Tag League is a nice tournament with some good matches. It doesn't mean anything in the long run, much like you said before we started the show. It doesn't really mean anything, but it has been better than the Tag League, the World Tag League.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, if there's any reason to be lame for you or anyone else, not watching the World Tag League is not a reason to be lame. like, there's nothing lame about not wanting to watch this tag league, for sure, I would say. And the Junior Tag League, I think it's definitely been way better than the Heavyweight Tag League, I will say. They really surprised me with a lot of this stuff, because I think a lot of people are putting in like some really inspired effort. What you said about Kevin Knight was totally true. I think this guy is awesome. He's had a great tour. Somebody that's always bringing in his matches. And I think every time I see him, he's like a standout guy in almost all of his matches. Like, even with Kushida, who's a wonderful talent in and of himself. I think Kevin Knight, man, this guy has been so good throughout the tournament. I see a lot in him, especially in the ring. And it shows you that. And that's another thing. We were talking about foreigners earlier. I think that this tournament, nearly every foreigner has delivered. Whether it's Kevin Knight, whether it's Leo Rush, who I think has been an outstanding partner, totally injected new life into Yo, in my opinion. That first night's main event, to me, is still one of the best matches of the whole tournament, if not the best, I would say, of any of these tag leagues or junior leagues, to be honest. I think you could argue that. Although I really liked the ending match that we saw the other day with the Bullet Club team. Another two great foreigners, Ace Austin, Chris Bay. I think they're so charismatic. Wrestle at such a great speed. All of their matches are well-paced. I think they do a great job. Catch-22, both fantastic wrestlers. I mean, TJP has been a standout. Just an excellent performer in the ring this tournament. Great teamwork with Akira. That's another thing I like about a lot of these teams, is that they're really working together really well and doing great teamwork. They feel like real teams, even though some of them just kind of teamed up. A lot of them feel like, hey, this is a real team. Whereas in the heavyweight tournament, there's a couple of teams like that, but a lot of them are like, oh, it's Tanahashi and Yano. Like, oh, you know, that's not a real team at the end of the day.
It has always kind of been the strength of the junior tag division in New Japan Pro Wrestling to make teams out of nowhere. I mean, Bushi and Titan, completely new tag team, but they feel like that they belong together. You know,
I totally disagree. I hope Titan gets away from him. I think they've been one of the worst teams in the tournament, which is still good because Titan. But I think Bushi just there's nothing there.
Like, no, Bushi is a setup for Titan to get over. That is definitely true. But for example, when you look at back in history, Kushida and Alex Shelley, they basically just put them together and it worked out magically. Here, Yo and Leo Rush, they work out very well together. Then they have Alex Zane and Elinderman. They add up great as a tag team. So
I don't like them that much. I haven't liked their tournament. I think that they've... Here's the thing with them.
It's so great. I love it.
Well, here's the thing with them.
Yeah.
They don't fit together to me. Like, you know, even something like Yo and Leo, stylistically they're different, but they wrestle together really well.
Yeah.
It's like Lindemann, he's this, I mean, I will say that they are both very charismatic guys, but it's just interesting because you say stuff and then don't really expand on it. So I feel like I have to counter it. What do you see about them that makes them a great team to you?
I think they fit well because their styles, they add together so well, with Alex Zane being the much bigger guy in the tag team and Al Lindemann being the guy that sweeps out with his dives. That I think is a team that works well in my eyes.
To me, Zane is much more of the dive guy than the Lindemann in their team, to me. And if you look at their run, I mean, I'm not saying
Lindemann does a dive in every match. In every single match, he does the same dive that gets the guy out of the ring, and then Alex Zane is able to get his stuff in.
Well, yeah, that's one dive compared to more than one that Zane does in every match as well, I would argue on there, you know. So, you know, I think that they're a team. I don't know. I don't really like them together as a team. I wish... And I also don't like that, again, we kind of ran into this problem in the other tournament. This team has 6 wins. They got to 12 points. And I did a little digging through this because I had a hunch when I watched other matches. I watched all of these matches, by the way. I might be the only one that did that.
Maybe.
Like, on there. But I had a suspicion on these matches. And wouldn't you know it, that every single fall, except for one on Dick Togo, Zane scored in their team. Lindemann did not get any falls except over Dick Togo and non-wrestling.
That is true.
And their tournament ended with him losing to Doki again. Once again, well. Yeah. So to me, I really wonder why they put him in this tournament. Not New Japan, because he's like the benefit of him, and he's a great wrestler, obviously. But why did they put their world champion in this position again? Like, knowing what they do.
That is a great point. That is a great point, but that's no counterpoint to me saying that I think that they are a good fit together.
I just think that, well, I don't agree that he's the dive guy when Zane does so much more high-flying stuff than Lindemann, you know, overall. And, I mean, they had good matches. You know, even the bad teams, quote-unquote, in this tournament are still, like, they're better than a lot of the stuff we've seen in the other tag leagues. So, it's just not a team I would really push beyond this tournament. Let me put it that way.
Probably not. But the point I was just going to make in counter to the World Tag League is that they make up teams that of course, not all of these teams are going to stick, but they make up teams that can get, that can have a tag team chemistry and that can have a common denominator, what makes them as a team. Whereas in the World Tag League, I mean, of course, yeah, you have the Bebop tag team of Tanahashi and Toru Yano, and they thought of that. And there are other teams that are proper tag teams in that league, but like, for example, Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer, the only thing that they have in common is they are in the same stable. So that really doesn't work out for anyone. And except for that, most of these teams have been in there for a long, long time in this World Tag League, and they don't bring anything new to the table. That is why I like most of these new teams here in the Super Junior Tag League.
Yeah, they still have that Taguchi team.
That is a problem.
and House of Torture team as well. So it's not all great. But,
no.
Also, I think that Eagles, you know, I like their team well enough, and it's great. Like, Tiger Mask is much better in this team than as a singles. But Eagles, to me, should be one of the main guys, not in this, you know, in this team that's at the bottom of the totem pole. Eagles is one of the best workers in this whole tournament to me. And I don't understand why they do some of the things they do overall. But, I mean, you know, you look at some of the top teams, I would say Catch-22, Bullet Club team, Leo and Yo, I think those are all three. And Kevin and Kushida. That's four fantastic teams.
I would agree.
And then you get down to, like, you know, your Zayns and Lindemans and your Bushi Titans. Like I said, they were pretty good. Like I said, they had good runs, you know, definitely good stuff. Doki and Kanemaru, I thought, had a solid run. I think Doki, he's another guy that deserves a lot of more respect than he gets. You know, he is always putting in max effort. He, to me, reminds me kind of like, I mean, he's more heelish, obviously, but he reminds me of Yoshihashi, actually, where in any situation where he's going to put in maximum effort and bring the best out of everybody involved and stuff like that. So
he's an incredible worker, he is.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, so that's like seven or eight teams deep that are good to very good to really great. You know, I think Catch-22 has done a great job as well. Again, I don't know if I mentioned them or not, but yeah, you know, so it came down to Bullet Club and Rush and Yo in the final, which I think is probably the best option. The one thing I hope that they don't do is, like, turn this into some kind of four-way at the Dome.
You know they will.
And that's what I fear, and they actually, like, again, I was doing some research into this, and Catch-22 lost to two other teams, like, these two teams and also Bushi and Titan, so they could easily throw Bushi and Titan, and then both of these teams get a title shot, which would be so stupid, because we're having this final match, where it's like, oh, I lost this tag league, and then I immediately get the same opportunity as the ones who won it, so I hope that they don't do that, but it is New Japan, so I think we all have to be on guard with that. But your ultimate point, I agree with, this tournament was good and better than the other tournaments.
That is good, at least. So one more talking point on New Japan Pro Wrestling in the regards of the IWGP Yoshi Championship, of the Women's Championship that they introduced. It has been, well, can I say it has been confirmed? I don't know. We'll see how that works out. But Mike Johnson and Dave Meltzer both reported that Sasha Banks will be at the January 4 Tokyo Dome show and that she is right now not with WWE, which immediately brought to my attention that New Japan, of course, announced this Yokohama Arena show on January 21st, where you think that it will be Okada and Muto, and I now say it will be Kairi defending the Women's Championship against Sasha Banks, which then to both of these trains of thoughts, Dylan, would add up to a great draw.
You've gotten this all mixed up. I said Okada and Muto was going to be at the Dome.
At the Dome. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they wouldn't just run that on a Yokohama show.
No. But which the Muto Dome show. Yeah, right. I got that mixed up. That's true. But however it is, I think that they will be doing the Sasha Banks and Kairi match at the Yokohama Arena show on January 21st, which still would be a great draw. And then you can put in Okada and whoever in the main or maybe in the semi-main for that show. So, that is an interesting thing. Her coming in I would assume that she will not be in for the long run. I've seen that people are already making plans for Sasha Banks and her run in Japanese companies, because of course she has already been training with Sendai Girls years ago. But I don't see her staying for long. I see her doing the match and then getting out, going back to WWE or whatever ventures she's going to take.
Yeah, we were talking about this off the air, and you were like super confident of that when you said it. And you were like, and I was like, well, you were like, it's obvious what's going to happen there now. And I was like, what are you talking about?
If they got her, it is blatantly obvious that that's the match.
Yeah. But what I was saying was, like, I was like, what are you talking about? And then when you said it, I was like, wow, because I was thinking, well, who knows, you know, maybe she will want to run. But when you said it about her going back to WWE after, I was like, you know, you're probably right about that. You know, like, that's a good point. Like, you're right about that. So I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, that gives them something to do with her in a very short time span. Kairi, obviously, like, somebody that she has history with in WWE. They've wrestled before, so it's not like it's some wild, you know, new opponent that she's never wrestled before that she would have to really work overtime to work with. It's somebody she's already pretty comfortable with. In Japan, which is one of her dreams, she loves Japan and all of that stuff there. So I think that's a very logical statement. Like what you said, I basically agree with you. It's not something I even put that much thought about, but when you said it, it's like, okay, yeah, like that makes perfect sense.
But it is also something that they have been pushing throughout the year, that the idea of Sasha Banks going to Japan, there have been these tweets where she tweeted out this graphic that some fan made and put it on her Instagram of the match, Sasha Banks versus Kairi. So, you know, people then said, of course, yeah, it's not just a graphic that a fan made and she just put it on to stir some rumors. But obviously there is something to these rumors, and we'll still have to wait and see if that really works out like it looks like. But if they got her, they will do the match.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense when you think about it. You know, I think everything about that works. I do think that her, like, again, it's not like, you know, I know her very well, but everything I see about her, she doesn't like the fans that much, actually. So she likes trolling them and stuff like that and teasing them. So, like, you know, who knows what she's thinking? She may not even be there. This all could be a big troll, like, for all we know.
Maybe she's going to Malaysia.
Man, I don't know about that. But she might just be in the crowd as a fan, for all we know. And, you know, she'll take a bunch of pictures of people, and people go crazy over it and speculate and everything. But, you know, I think what you said is the most likely scenario of it. Like, I think your idea is the correct one. Again, we don't know what's going on in her mind or what they want, but obviously for the company, they would want her, you know? So, like, that's a no-brainer when you think about it, just for her fan base that she brings, which is very substantial and large and passionate. So they will reach out to watch her if they do this. So I think that it's a very smart idea for them to make it happen somehow. And like you said, and also a good point is, if that does happen, that puts her right due to return around WrestleMania time, which would be a perfect timeline for everybody involved, pretty much, on there. And who knows, you know, what that could mean. Maybe this has something to do, you know, with the IWGP Women's title. Like you said, their overall plan for it, maybe bringing in more foreign talent to wrestle, you know, maybe from an AEW in the future, Sasha now with whatever deal they've got going on. Who's to say? But I think that what you said was correct, and I think it'll be a big deal for that show. And like you said, putting it in Yokohama, I don't know how much Sasha means in Japan specifically, but I know it will matter to the American fans. And whatever they need to do to get the people there in the arena, they'll figure it out, and it'll be a really big deal for everyone on whatever service they use for this show, you know, whether it's Stardom, whether it's New Japan World, whether it's a pay-per-view, who knows what Bushiroad will do, but they will get their money one way or the other.
They
I can
will.
Assure you that.
Once again, going back to the point that Fumi Saito made about fans in Japan, and that just like you said, we really don't know what it really means to the New Japan audience. because there is a very distinct way of watching wrestling in Japan. For most parts, there are fans of one company. And do the WWE fans that know Sasha Banks want to go to a New Japan Pro Wrestling show? That remains to be seen. And do the New Japan fans know Sasha Banks to the extent that she will really be a draw? Like I said, she will. That remains to be seen. But they certainly will push the match big, and if they push it big, I think that they will draw well for that.
Yeah, I think that one way or the other, if you know, whatever happens to the New Japan fans in Japan, the benefit of the rest of the world will will make up for whatever issues there will. And they can always have other stuff with Okada or do a Muto match or something like that. They can pull something out to draw those fans in. The Sasha match will be for the world, not necessarily for the New Japan fans.
That's a good point.
Japan. Yeah. Yes.
So one final point on that matter as well. We talked about Kairi. She is wrestling Utami Hayashishita at the Stardom Dream Queendom show on December 29 in Sumo Palace. And there are some other matches that have been announced for that big show, that big year-end show for Stardom. High-speed title, Azumi defense against Hikari Shimizu of Colors. The Artist of Stardom title is up for grabs. Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, and Saki Kashima defend against the Prominence team of Risa Sera, Zuzu Suzuki, and Kurumi Hiragi. Hiragi Kurumi, sorry. Goddesses of Stardom title, Dylan. Tam Nakano and Natsupoi defend against the winners of the Tag League, Nanae Takahashi and Yu. And then the two top belts, Saya Kamitani defends against Haruka Umesaki, of course, the Wonder of Stardom title. And in the main, Shuri defends the red belt against Julia.
As I accurately predicted with the 7-Up winning the Tag League with Nanae and Yu, getting in there, and a lot of these Nanae haters are eating their words once again now that they had a great run in the tag league, especially the final match. I think everybody really appreciated it and saw a lot of in the tag league. The rest of the show's interesting. The main event is like just an amazing story coming together, and then a lot of these other matches, there really isn't that much of a story at all. It's just, hey, here's this outsider that's coming in. So it's a little weird for this big Queendom show, but I think that the main event is so strong that, you know, it's all going to work out at the end. So I think that the main event is great. And actually, the outsider matches are still cool. The white belt's a little disheartening and disappointing just because I think the odds of her losing it to Umesaki is very low overall. Yeah. You know, so that seems like something. The high-speed match with Shimizu, I think, is going to be a barn burner. Like, really great stuff overall with Azumi. Azumi is one of the best, in my opinion, and I think that Shimizu is going to work great with her. That's going to be a really standout match in the undercard. And, you know, Kairi and Utami, that's not for the title, but it's a big match overall. You know, me and Sandre were talking about this on the Patreon show we did last week, and I was like, man, this is wild to do this.
It's and basically, totally
wild. Basically, we kind of came to the conclusion that they were like, well, the first title defense has to be at the Dome.
Yeah, they said that, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So because they said that, that means they can't do a title defense on this show. But yeah, it still gives you a major Kairi match, which is always... Yeah. I mean, the match is going to be awesome, so...
I think all this booking around the IWGP Women's title really messed up the booking for Kairi, because they booked themselves into a corner of saying that she was going to defend the title for the first time in the Tokyo Dome. And plus, because they said that, they had to book some matches, like, for example, the 30-minute time limit draw between Saya Kamitani and her, where Saya couldn't beat Kairi because on the next day, Kairi was winning the IWGP Women's title. And now she's facing Utami in this weird non-title match, because they already said that the first title defense will be in the Tokyo Dome. So those circumstances make the booking really hard for Kairi.
I think the white belt was more because she got sick in August when the match was going to happen the first time. They had to move it back. If it had happened then, it might have happened differently with the white belt. And who knows? Maybe all this would have been differently. like you know, with the titles and everything. The Tommy stuff, I think, is... I just think The most likely outcome of this is Kyrie just wins anyway.
I would agree.
Yeah, so it probably won't be that big of a deal for her. Maybe Utami is kind of like the odd woman out, but she still gets a major singles match out of it either. Right. So, yeah, you know, even though she wasn't the champion or anything. So, she, you know, it's all right. Like, I don't hate it too much. It's just weird that it's a non-title match. It's really more, you know, just like we were saying, like, oh, well, they said it had to be at the Dome, so now this is not a non-title match. You know, if it was a title match, I'd be like, oh, okay, this makes total sense. Cool to, like, great match between two great wrestlers.
Yeah. But, yeah. Exactly. And just because they said it would be in a Tokyo Dome, made this match. And I mean, there would be nothing against this if Utami had just come out and challenged Kairi and they do the title match here and then do Tam Nakano versus Kairi in the Tokyo Dome. It doesn't really take any value away from the Tokyo Dome match.
Yeah, I agree with that. But clearly they don't.
Clearly they don't.
I'm with you, String. Don't look at me. It's them. Yeah. But still, though, I think that the main event is... I really think that in a year, and maybe even years to come after this, I think that this main event is going to be a big starting point, like a turning point for this company, in that Julia, to me, is destined to be what Okada was to New Japan. In terms of, this is now their clear-cut ace. She will have everything put into her as the top star of this company. This run is going to solidify her and be an amazing run for her. And I think that she is going to be a complete superstar in every way. I think she is going to have a great run and lead this company to new heights that they've never reached. I think this year, and really all ever since Bushiroad bought them, they've had nothing but success as a company. But I think with Julia as winning the championship going forward, I think she has everything it takes to be one of the top stars, male or female.
She will be off and running.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the match is going to be amazing, obviously. And I think that the title win, much like last year with Shuri and Utami, I think the title win, you're guaranteed one thing, you know, in addition to great matches and wrestling and all of that. But I think when she wins the title, it's going to be an extremely emotional moment where real emotions get felt throughout. And it's this totally real life thing at the end. So I think that that's going to cover everything. But I mean, the card match wise is really good. So the matches themselves don't feel particularly big, though, outside of the main event, I would say.
Okay. Yes. That I agree with. The main event will be huge, will be the culmination of a 2-year-long storyline, and that should be great. So one thing that you wanted to talk about at the end of the show, you messaged me, you want to talk about year-end stuff, Dylan.
That was more off the air, to be honest. So I wanted to talk
about
off the air.
We don't talk about year-end stuff on the air. No, we can briefly address it. Of course, yes, we will be doing our year-end awards show. And I will be putting up the format at the end of December. I'll probably wait until most of the big matches that are still on this month have happened. Maybe around before Christmas time, I think. Maybe I'll put it up, or maybe after Christmas. I don't know yet. I'll still have to work a lot, and I don't know yet when I can focus on the year-end stuff. But there will definitely be the Google format once again, like for the half-year awards. So we will all have that in place.
Yeah, and I'm very much looking forward to it. You know, like I said, so this is one of the more exciting episodes like that we re-record throughout the years, our year-end awards. And I love hearing all the thoughts of all the people. So that's something to keep an eye out for. The ballot and stuff for the awards is always interesting to see where people are at, what they think. And we've gotten a lot of different, votes over the years. And the great thing about our show is that the fans always come through. Like, yes, there's a lot of New Japan stuff and maybe even some NOAH stuff. But in years past, we've got a lot of different companies represented in there.
Yes.
And you know, even in Joshi, we don't just talk about Stardom. We have all kinds of stuff from, like, 5, 6, 7 different companies that have appeared over the years. So it's like you go 7, 8 companies deep with the Joshi, 7, 8 companies deep with the guys. I don't think there's any other awards that really tackle all of the stuff in Japan like that, that we do it here. So,
you know, from the very beginning, this was my idea of this show. From the very beginning when I started this show was the idea of covering as many companies as I can, as many companies as I can watch. Sometimes I watch more companies than we cover. For example, I've watched a lot of Big Japan Pro Wrestling in these past 2 months, but there is really nothing that is that strikes me that we can discuss about it. You know, there are sometimes good matches, like for example the Takuo Kato and Takuya Nomura match they put up on YouTube. But that's a good match. But there is nothing that really comes out of this company that is in any way worthy of discussing it on a big stage. At least not to my in my opinion. Watch Basara, for example, but Basara is also not a company that I would discuss with you here on the air. So in these year-end awards shows, especially the entire idea, the essence of this show, I think, comes together where we try to cover as much as we can.
Yes, and well, first of all, I do have to mention Abe leaving Basara. So
right, yes.
Maybe he will also go to New Japan.
That would be great.
That would give him a major spotlight. It would be very interesting. You know, this guy's probably tired, man. He's wrestled in 10 million companies. You know, overall, he's like, man, I need to settle down, man. You know, overall, but not just you, not just us either. Because, like I said, I mean, I'm the same way. There's tons of stuff that I watch that we don't even talk about on here, just because I love wrestling so much, obviously. But the fans also love wrestling, so I love how the fans are always like right there to talk about all these different companies. Whether we talk about them as much or not, they will get their spot in the sun on these award show. If the fans determine, it's the will of the people, Stringer. We can't go against it. So I'm always super excited about it overall. And we give our picks as well. It's a fun discussion for the most part. There's very rarely something you'll say when the awards come that I'll be like, how could you say this guy deserves an award? Pretty much, I agree with all of your picks. Or, you know, maybe I'll pick somebody different, but I see what you're saying.
That will happen at the end of the month, definitely towards the end of the year, I would say. I'm not sure yet if there will be another show before that, because there's lots of work that has summed up that I have to take care of, which is why right after this recording, I have to go and correct some tests. So that is the life that I have right now, recording this show with you, recuperating from my injury, and of course working.
But you know, you're always a big time star, though, in your work. I think even at the hospital, when you were getting treated, I think they treated you like a VIP, if I got that right.
That is not because of me. It is because of the insurance that I have.
Listen, you know the old saying, Stringer, it's better to be lucky than good. It's better to be insured than VIP. Yeah. I wish I had that, Stringer.
Absolutely. Yeah, it comes with my background, with my job. You have there's different kinds of insurances in Germany, and as a teacher, you have the private one. This is the one that makes sense. So that's why I got treated better than others, which, to be quite honest, really made me feel bad.
I love how I totally like made this up randomly, and then it turned out to be true. Oh, no. I always say, like, you know, there's some people out there, some of these reporters and things, they always have their sources. I don't need sources.
No.
I just know it in my head on there, you know, and not even in wrestling, even in German hospitals. I'm somehow a psychic expert on somehow. But I will say this, you were the draw of your school, of your students, though. You were the draw on there. You were the star of the show.
Okay. I take that with me. Okay. All right, man. Yes, so this once again was great to be back and discuss all the stuff that I missed, that we missed, because discussing it is the essence of it all, you know.
but you're totally right. I'm glad you're back on. You know, it was interesting to do these other shows. They, like I said, the one with Sandre, it was because of that particular show was very important in my opinion, and I didn't want us to just like, oh, what happened? We didn't talk about it. They're like, now if you're back, oh wait, that happened 3 weeks ago. like that wouldn't have been good review. Yeah, and that's the thing about wrestling and life in general too, is that time.
Oh yeah,
time flies so fast, man. Like, you know, it feels like just yesterday we did our draft at the start of the year and all of that. There we had all. Oh, and look at how crazy things got in this year that we never could have anticipated or expected in the world of wrestling from then. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be that way too. A year from now, we're probably going to be back on here, and you know,
Jake Lee will be IWGP World Heavyweight Champion by that point.
Maybe he'll be back in All Japan.
maybe he'll be in Noah. Who knows?
Maybe Akiyama will return to All Japan as well. Maybe all kinds
maybe,
of things.
Maybe Tenryu buys All Japan Pro Wrestling. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the world of wrestling. But, you know, it's going to be fun stuff to cover. And like I said, I love going through all the year-end stuff. So I'm glad you're back. I very much missed you, not just in the wrestling world, but just talking to you as a friend, man. So glad to have you.
Same, man. The same goes for me. So I was glad that we were able to do this show. And to all the listeners outside, I want to say I love you all. Thank you all for listening. And goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.